Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Connie McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hello, everybody. You listen to Spiritual Connections Radio, and we'd like to welcome you to another great show. As you know, Dr. Connie is on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to call in for a free reading, call in at 646-716-9663. And with that, I'm going to put you on. Go ahead, Dr. Connie.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Welcome. It is a pleasure and an honor to be speaking with you tonight. I wanted to talk about being in the silence. And before I do that, let me just go ahead and give you my information, my email address, gmail.com. My website is drconniesays.com. Yeah. If you would like to go on the website and see what's there, what's available, that would be great. But moving into what I wanted to speak about, let me start with a quote by Mother Teresa. She said, "We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness."
Hey, God, Dr. Connie?
Yes.
You sound very distant.
Okay, let me see what I can do to fix that. I wasn't sure if I was coming across or not, so hang on just a second.
Yeah, that's better right there.
How's that? Is this good?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, so once again, I'm glad Mark came on because I wasn't sure how I was coming across, but rather interesting that I wanted to talk about silence, and I was almost too silent for you to hear me. So I guess that's just the universe's sense of humor coming through. But my website is drconniesays.com. Please go on and see what there is to see. There's some free downloads that might be helpful for you. Also, a free download that Mark did on meeting your guardian angels that for this talk tonight would actually not be a bad thing to have, because I'm talking about being in the silence. And again, I'm starting with a quote from Mother Teresa, and she said, "We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, grow in silence. See the stars, the moon, and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls." Again, that's a quote by Mother Teresa. And it moves me into a Bible story that I was brought up on and would be familiar possibly to many of you. But it's the story of Jonah and the whale. And the story is that Jonah was a prophet. And as a prophet, God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, because it was a wicked city, and he wanted Jonah to warn the people that if they didn't change their ways, God was going to destroy the city. Well, in the home I grew up in, where the Bible was taken fairly literally, this was an actual account. So God really did send people places because of evil in the world that he would literally wipe out of the world. For other people, it's a great metaphor for what I'm going to speak about tonight. So whether you believe in the literal translation or whether you believe it's just a metaphor, the story still has meaning and value. So Jonah says, not feeling it, not going to go to Nineveh, ain't going to happen, see ya. And he boarded a ship going in an opposite direction. And he went down to his little room at the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. So the boat sails off in the sea, and a terrific storm comes up. And the people fear for their lives. They fear that the boat's going to sink. And everyone on the boat, they're all praying to their own gods, all trying to get saved. And the captain goes down, and he finds Jonah asleep in the boat. He wakes him up, really angry. He says, how can you be down here and you be asleep when we're about ready to die? Wake up, call on your God, because maybe you calling on your God will be just enough to stop the storm so that we don't all perish. And so they're trying to figure out who's causing the storm. So they all draw straws. Jonah pulls the short straw. He goes, well, okay, the storm is all about me because I'm a prophet and God told me to go to Nineveh and I didn't want to go, so I jumped on the boat to come go to this other town. Throw me in the river or throw me in the water, and if you do that, then you'll be saved. So they did it. They came up there in the water. Immediately, storm calmed. And all this time that God and that Jonah is running and sleeping and avoiding and figuring out his own plan, God is preparing a fish for Jonah. So he gets in the water, fish swallows him up. He's in the belly of this fish for 3 days. Now, there's probably not a whole lot to do in the belly of a fish. Probably not a lot of people to talk to, not a lot of places to go. So he had nothing to do but sit in the silence. He had nothing to do but contemplate and pray and get his priorities straight, figure out what he wanted to do, figure out why he was running, what his fears were, and figure out whether he believed in the God that he serves enough to follow through with what God is asking him to do. So after 3 days, he starts talking to God. And he's praying, and he finally tells God that he'll go to Nineveh. And the fish spits him out. He goes to Nineveh, and there's the city is healed. They come to God so that the city is not destroyed. And the reason that I'm telling you this story is because in our spiritual walk, we are all going to come to a crisis point where if we're going to move forward, we're going to have to sit in the silence. We're going to have to sit in the, I don't know what to do because I can't do anything. Everything that I have tried to do, I have done. I've sent out all of my resumes. I've contacted all of my friends. I've sent that one last email to that person that I'm interested in to see if they'll respond. I've gone to every doctor I can go to. I've gone to every therapy session that I can stand. And there's nothing left for me to do but sit in the silence. And it is from the strength of sitting in the silence that you will be able to go forth and do the bidding of the Creator, I like to think of our lives here because we all have a purpose and because there's very little randomness in the world. I like to think of us as running a relay race and that we have on the shoulders of giants that have gone before us so that we have an opportunity to see what lies before us because of what they have done and what they have created, those in the past, and what they have given us to do in this lifetime. So if I take my baton and run my race, it's because I'm continuing the path of people, of faithful people who have gone before me, done and walked in the steps that the Creator has asked them to do. And in order for me to find my own place, there is going to come a time. Some of you are in it now. Some of you have been through it, maybe going through it, or have yet to experience it. But for me to run my race, there is going to come a time when I will probably be feeling like everything that I do, I'm not going anywhere. Everything that I do, as hard as I try, it's just not moving forward. I find that I'm lonely. I find that I can't find that special person. I'm depressed. I'm hopeless. I'm fearful. I feel like I'm in the dark. And as hard as I try, I can't seem to make a shift anywhere. I pray, and I just don't feel like God's responding. I call on my angels, and I don't get the closeness. And a lot of the times when I call on my angels, I feel like I'm literally enveloped in their wings. I don't get that. And it's through that that I'm able to find what I am made of. It's through the silence and the being still and knowing that I, in my own power, can't figure it out, can't move forward, don't know what to do. And then when I'm quiet, that's when God can do his work. As long as I'm resisting where I'm at, as long as I'm trying to figure out, God wants me to go this way, man, I really want to go the other way. But God may put us in the belly of oil. Because in order for us to carry our baton, to pass it on to the next person, we have to be able to run our race with faith and with courage and with confidence. And part of that journey is getting to the point where there's nothing we can do. One of the scriptures in the Bible, in Psalms, I think it's the 42nd Psalm in the 10th verse. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Quit questioning. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to do. Quit trying to burn the candle at both ends. Quit doing my job and your job both. And just know who you serve. Know that when you stand in the silence and you allow God to prepare you, that, like Jonah, when you go forth, you do a great work. We're coming up on Martin Luther King Day. The more I read about this man, the more I'm fascinated by him. So in 1963, he's hoping to get 100,000 people, maybe, to show up in Washington for a rally. He ends up with 250,000 people. And he's been working with the speechwriters, and he's got this really eloquent words that he wants to say. He gets up there, and he starts talking. And it's really a beautiful speech. If you ever read it, it's really quite eloquent and put together beautifully. But nobody's really listening. You've got people that are listening. You know, you've got 250,000 people, so yeah, you've got some people that are listening, and some people are really not. But he doesn't have the crowd. He doesn't have command of the crowd. What he is trying to say is not landing. Part of what happens with us in the silence is God plants seeds. God gives dreams. God gives visions. So King is up there, and he's, you know, he's an orator, so he's really delivering this well. And Mahalia Jackson, who was a gospel singer, sitting up there on the stage with him, and she yells out, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream." And then he starts, puts away his notes, and then he starts the "I Have a Dream" speech. And he does the speech with perfection. There's not one stutter. There's not one stammer. He doesn't slip on any words. And everyone in the crowd is completely spellbound. And that is because in the silence, God moved upon Martin Luther King, knowing that Trinity was coming for him to deliver that speech. There are moments when God is desperately trying to get our attention, and we're too caught up in what we don't have. We're too caught up in our fears or our worries or our anxiety or looking at the other person and figuring out why we can't have what they have. For some of you right now listening to this, you're already thinking about what you're going to do as soon as you quit listening to this program. We're always in such a rush and such in a hurry. And for so many of us, we always feel like we have to be in charge so that we can keep ourselves going. And keep, because we, although we say we have faith in God, we only have faith in God when it's going to work out in our time frame, or when we're going to get that job, or that person, or that amount of money, or whatever it is. What I have started doing in the morning, I have a pretty significant daily commute. So I do it in silence. I have no radio on. I have nothing on, and I spend the entire commute praying and listening. And the more that I do that, the more I find I'm relaxed. I don't feel that urge to have to rush and push and you know, be the first one to work and get all this done and run. And I don't have that nervous energy. For many people, this silence and allowing God in and finding your place in your walk, your journey. At some point, you will experience what many people call the dark night of the soul, where it's an extended amount of time where God deals with you in a way that you have to wrestle with yourself and really define who you are and who you want to be and who this God is. And I know I've talked about this before, of defining who the God is that you serve, so that you know how to believe in this Creator. And if I really believe that the Creator's got my back, but then I turn right around and I start dictating to the Creator how I want things to be, or it needs to be in this time frame or whatever, then maybe I haven't wrestled long enough with myself, because the thoughts of your past or your parents or your heritage or your tribe or your tradition or your culture, you may need to tweak that, throw it all out and start all over again. There's going to be a personal stamp on your journey. There has to be, because only you can do your part of the race. You can't run my race, and I don't want to run yours. I can't. I can't touch the people that you can. And the only way that I can do this is to really have that separation. Muhammad had one for, his lasted 3 years. Jesus was 40 days in the desert. He had just come from an all-time high. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. Heavens open, dove comes down, voice from the heaven said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And right after that, right after this spiritual high, and things couldn't get any better, things were going great, he had finally been acknowledged, he ended up 40 days and nights in the desert. Any great person who has really done something significant in the stand that they take has gone through a dark night of the soul. Because you have to know who you are and what you stand for and what you believe. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is the woman who wrote the Stages of Grief, worked a lot with cancer victims, sat with a lot of people that were, you know, near death. And she said, learn to get in touch with the silence within yourself and know that everything in life has purpose. There are no mistakes, no coincidences. All events are blessings given to us to learn from. So if I know that my time of separation, where I feel like I'm in a tunnel and I don't know where the end is, but I know there's a purpose for the tunnel, that could give me enough stamina and willingness to go through what I need to get to the other side. If I mistake my trials and tribulations, so to speak, for I must have done something wrong. God is punishing me. I must have sinned. I am on my way to eternal damnation. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. God's left me behind and gone on to be with cooler people. Whatever the story you make up in your head, if I know that my journey, that there are no mistakes in my journey, and my unemployment, my loneliness, my having to frequently move, my being in a place I don't want to be, my not having enough, feeling like I don't have enough money. If I know that that's part of my journey because it gives me the opportunity for God to break me, then there's a method in the madness. One of the things I liked about New York City is it was chaotic, but it was a kind of a controlled chaos. There was a rhythm and a beat, and if you were there long enough, you just kind of got into it, and you just kind of knew how to maneuver around people and maneuver around objects, and everybody kind of got where they needed to go without everyone running into each other. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like in this cosmic chaos, I'm in this rhythm, and I know that there's a purpose in that, and as I tune into that, then I can kind of navigate around some of the obstacles without, you know, crashing into them and feeling like that I'm being eternally punished. So, when you know that in the silence is where the wisdom is born, it's where the magnificent occurrences are born. It's where the greatness that we are begins, in the silence. It's a little bit easier to take. It's a little bit easier to understand, and at least to the best of our ability, tolerate, because we know that God's got his hand in that. And in that movement, we can't do anything but come forth victorious. So with that, Mark, I'm going to let you do the half-hour spiel.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. I want to tell everybody you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we have Dr. Kehani on every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of the show, you can get it out of the archives and find out more about other radio shows at our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you'd like to call in for a free reading, you can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. 9663, and I have someone ready for you if you're ready.
I am ready.
All right, Christina from California, you are on with Dr. Kehani.
Hello, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How may I help you this evening?
I just wanted to know if you received any messages from any of the archangels that are around me.
Okay. The bigger question is, do you receive any of the messages from the archangels that are around you?
Do I? Yes, I do.
Awesome. Alrighty. What do you feel like if they tell you, Christina?
Well, it depends on what I'm asking.
Okay.
And if you don't pick anything up today, that's fine. I just love
no,
the topic.
No. I'm just I'm just wondering, because sometimes it's just kind of helpful if there was a specific question or something involved.
Okay. I'm just in any area if anything comes up, and if it doesn't, that's okay too.
Well, because the angels are always seeing Joseph, there's always something that comes up. Okay. There seems to be an area in your life where there were some uncertain feelings. And it may have to do with something that's happened that you get to forgive yourself for. That a circumstance or an event has happened that is bothering you, and you're not allowing those feelings to come to the surface. Because you can reason it away or try to minimize it. And I get the feeling that some sort of energy work would be good for you. Whether you had, I don't know, it could be anything. It could be anything from acupuncture to theta healing to massage, anything might help bring some of these emotions up to the surface. It's kind of what I'm getting. And whatever worries or concerns that you might have regarding this, whatever has happened, that the situation is already resolved and already taken care of, and you don't have to burden or worry yourself with wondering how things are going to turn out.
Well, you're 100% accurate. I'm blown away. Yeah, you're 100% accurate, because that's exactly what I'm going through. And I will do some acupuncture because it's covered by my insurance. I've never done it before, but I really feel like it would help. And since you brought that up, one of, you know, many things that I can do, I will definitely do it. There's no reason not to, and I really feel like it's it'll benefit me in so many wonderful ways.
Well,
and it's especially to purge the feelings
right.
that I have.
Right. One of the things that I have done was asked to be released from karmic connections that are not working for me, because in the people that I've dealt with that I've had to work out karma, I usually end up feeling angry and resentful. And it's for me just continuing to ask to be released and continue it with love and forgiveness has kind of helped me, you know, kind of take the edge off of some of the feelings that I have towards certain people. So that might be helpful.
Thank you for suggesting that, because I will definitely do that this evening. I'll get right on that. Been doing a lot of work over the past almost 5 years now, a lot of healing work within my soul and trying to understand my subconscious, because I really do feel that the people do reflect how I'm truly feeling on the inside, even if I wasn't aware of it in my waking state. And going in and seeing the truth in
mm-hmm.
it, seeing what my role was in it, and then where I've been stuck was really fully releasing it. And I feel like I'm on my way, that I'm beginning to do that. And also seeing whatever the situation is as a learning lesson for me, and thanking the individuals, regardless if it was painful or if it was joyful. And I laugh because it's really, I believe, in my perspective for my soul growth, and I'm so very thankful for the beautiful guardian angel and archangels that surround me and the beautiful ways that they can communicate with us. And what brings me to tears is that they do not, in my perspective, want to scare us in any way or violate our free will. And so the amount of compassion and integrity when it comes to the clever ways of communicating, whether it's strictly, well, there's so many different ways. I can hear them like I hear you, mm-hmm. and or various ways that they can communicate. And first and foremost is making sure that we feel comfortable. And so that's just, it's just beautiful. So I'm really happy that you have this show. I'm a first-time caller, and I will go back and re-listen to what you shared prior to taking my phone call, as well as throughout the duration of the show, because I really do feel there's so much information in what you shared tonight, as well as hearing what anyone else is going through. And I just really want to thank you for speaking to me tonight and telling me what you were picking up. I so appreciate what you're doing.
You're very welcome. Thank you. It's very cool to work with the energy and hear other people's experiences with it. I love it. Love it.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm hugging you.
thank you. You're welcome. I'm hugging you right back, darling. Hang in there.
Thank you. Can I still listen in?
I assume you can.
Yeah. You know, when people are on hold, they're able to listen to the show, which is great. So as long as she hangs in there, she can still hear.
All right. Very cool.
Just very, very powerful energy from her.
Don't you think? Man, I loved it. I loved it. I didn't want her to go. I said, you can do the other half of the show. Just be here with me. Yeah, I loved it.
Wow. So before we get back to the lecture, can you pull some cards and tell me what the angels are looking at as far as where I'm heading with my Florida move?
Do that.
That song, On the Road Again, comes to mind.
Okay.
I said that song, On the Road, comes to mind.
On
the Road Again.
My daughter and I have been listening to Shrek the Musical, and they have a donkey Shrek sing a travel song that my daughter just thinks is the funniest thing, and so she sings it to me all the time when we're in the car. So it has nothing to do with anything. I just remember that. Okay. Woo-hoo. All right. In any move, it's always stressful. There's always a question of, am I doing the right thing? There's always a question of, how are things going to turn out once I get there? And what Archangel Michael wants you to know is that your outcome is very favorable. So you're definitely on the right path, doing the right thing, and that in all of this move and in the transition with your family and whatnot, you are always going to be guarded and protected. And in that, I think as you relax and delve into your new life down there, the level of just your feeling of self-respect and your feeling of power, of being able to be of support to the people that you love and finding your new place in the world, is just gonna skyrocket. So it all looks good.
Great, that sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'll let you go back to your great lecture.
Okay, thank you. Okay. One of the reasons that I think it was a God deal, Christina, I hope you're still on the phone. One of the reasons that I think it's a God deal that she called tonight on this lecture, which there is no accidents,
is she said it's been 5 years. And the journey that we have in the silence and the chipping away that God does for us sometimes just takes time. And if we get antsy, if we get in a hurry, if we get discouraged enough, we may just jump ship and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And because we have free will, the angels are not going to tie us down to the road. They're not going to cement our shoes to the pathway. So part of the importance of being in the silence is the preparation for where your journey may take you. And you won't necessarily know that you're being prepared. All you know is when you're called upon to make that step, you've got enough inner strength and you have enough intellectual knowledge to know that pursuit that you're doing is worth the effort. I can't believe there's anybody out there that didn't watch Karate Kid, but if there's anybody out there that didn't wax on, wax off, this kid comes to this karate master because he's being bullied, and he is so excited because he thinks he's going to jump right into these karate lessons, and you know, next week he's going to be able to go beat the bullies. And the karate master takes him to a field full of cars. He said, I want you to wax the cars. This is the motion I want you to do. What's the wax going on? This is the motion I want you to do with the wax going off. Wax all the cars. He said, okay, now I'm ready. He goes, okay, good. Now I want you to paint the fence. What I want you to do when you go the stroke up, this is the motion I want you to do with the stroke down. The student grumbled, griped, kicked the tires, you know, sloshed the paint, but he did it, faithful. Did exactly what he was asked to do, even if he didn't understand it. And what he was actually learning were the fundamental moves to karate, mm-hmm. to karate. So it's the same thing for us. God will allow us and put us in certain situations, prepare us for the work he wants us to do. Now, that work may require, like Christina, 5 years. But what the energy that you picked up from her was the exact energy I picked up. There's something about that woman that's insanely cool because she waxed on and waxed off. I remember when I was going through one of my episodes of being in a cave, and when I closed my eyes, I could visualize the cave. I saw it. It was total black. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how far it was. I didn't know if I'd ever get out of there. Prayed and I asked God. I said, I can't see. I don't know what to do. God said, feel down by your feet and you will find a rope. And I knelt down and sure enough, there was a rope. So hand over hand, I used that rope, and that's all I had until after some time I could start to see some light. Got a little lighter and a little lighter, and I finally got out of the cave. But wherever you are on your journey and wherever you are in the dark, there's going to be a rope or a light or a torch or a something that will get you through if you ask the angels to come and support you, if you ask the Creator to come and show you the way. We can be patient enough to allow God to do what God needs to do so that we get to a point where we're able to make the I Have a Dream speech. We're able to go to Nineveh. We're able to see our prayers answered. We're able to get the job or the relationship or the money or the health or the whatever. We're able to release old wounds and hurts, and we're able to forgive not only them but forgive us. We're able to set down the beat up bat. We're able to experience. We're able to sit in the silence and hear the voice of God. And when we do that, then we have made a tremendous part of our journey. Then we're able to live our day with heart. And our main concern is, how can I be of service to other people rather than what's in it for me? So before we go, and I'm going to put myself back on speaker, but before we go, I'm going to give you four messages from Archangel Michael. Write these down. Refer back to them. These are four ways that when you find yourself in the dark or when the silence is so intolerable, you don't know if you can stand one more second of it. These are the things that Archangel Michael want you to know. The first thing is maintain positive thoughts. As crazy as that sounds and as impossible as that sounds, but if I know because I'm allowing myself to prepare for the dark times, because it will be, if I am creating my relationship with God and creating my relationship with the angels, and I'm creating my relationship with my inner self so that I know that all things happen for the good and there are no coincidences and everything is a life lesson, and if I have myself prepared with grounding in that, it's easier to have positive thoughts because those are going to create the circumstances that I want. My night may not be so long. My silence may be not so deep. My darkness may be not so dark if I am so filled with gratitude that I'm learning, the lessons just come easier. The material things I have, number two, are protected. Even if I find myself with nothing, and I have been there, material-wise, very, very little, I know that God's got my back and it's on its way. I have never, ever been without, ever. Even when I didn't have a job and I didn't really have a place to go, I always had a roof over my head. I always had food to eat. I always had clothes on my back. The material things, the things that we worry about so much and try to grasp and hold on to, that piece of living in this world, because it is given to us by divine order. So I may not have it physically in front of me, but I know that it's mine by divine right. And when I ask, I know that it's protected, because it's part of what God is going to give to me. So even if I don't have it in front of me, I know that it's coming, because God's going to give me the desires of my heart. And if I desire for a place to live and, you know, something to sit on, I'm going to have that. And then I work toward more creature comforts as they come along. The third thing is that you are loved, period. And that when we go through these times and we don't think we make a difference and we don't think anyone is there for us, we can still be in a position to give and receive love. I've told you guys already about the lady that made me my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. She said, I made it with heart. And that has stuck with me. And every single day from that day on, I've asked to live my day with heart. And the things that I do out of love, whether it's making a cup of coffee, that changed my life. I can touch people regardless of my financial state or my creature comforts. Being in a state of knowing that we can give and receive love is very important in our journey through the dark. And the last thing is pray. Prayer is communication. Talk to your angels. Talk to the Creator. Let them know how you feel. Let them know how grateful you are that they're there for you. Let them know that you're willing to go through this time because you want to be the best that you can be. And if you will do those four things, be positive, relax that in the material arena, God's got your back. Know that you're loved and that you can make a difference and that you can always be in constant communication with your angels. If you do those four things, that will help you tremendously in those times when things look like that they're forever going to be, you know, not what we want. So, Mr. Rothman? Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I just have to switch over. I always have it muted, so it takes a minute.
That's all right.
All right. We're ready to wrap it up. We do have a couple minutes left, so if I can just send a prayer out to everybody.
For you two?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'll start by opening space. On behalf of myself and others, I call on the ancestors, the guides, the higher self, the angels, the archangels, the elementals, the fairies, the dolphins, the whales, the hawthorns, the beings of 100% white light, the ascended masters, Mother Earth, Father Sky, Universe, and God. I ask all people that are suffering from any type of diseases, sicknesses, or anything, that they be sent healing energy and surrounded by angels. I ask for comfort to be sent to people in stress and children that are not eating or don't have any health care. I send support to people out there that are unemployed or disabled, sending love and energy to all people out there, surrounding them with angels, and so it is. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Connie, as always. It was, of course, we'll give a holler out to Christina from California. It was great having you on this evening. I see her on hold listening to the show. So, as always,
You need to come back, Christina. We could all use your energy. Man, that you're fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. So, with that, I'd like to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionswithanSradio.com. If you go to the link, you can actually bring up the replays, and all the previous shows are available. As always, Dr. Connie, great having you on, and I want to say goodnight to everybody.
All right, goodnight. Thank you.
And we'll just finish this off with the usual song that we normally have.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it all for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis refuse. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.